and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. A standing ovation for President Trump in the Israeli parliament shortly after all 20 living hostages returned to Israel. Speaker of the Knesset, Amir Ohana, said he's nominating the president for the Nobel Peace Prize.
President Trump, you are the president of peace. There was not a single person on this planet who did more than you to advance peace.
And two buses of Palestinian prisoners have left an Israeli prison under the terms of the first phase of the peace agreement. President Trump will co-chair a peace summit later today in Egypt with other world leaders focusing on a long-term peace in the region. ABC contributor Steve Ganyard, a former defense official, says,
what happens next is really the question that's for the broader international community. Who's going to come in and be the international security force? Who's going to lead it?
This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin has joined a multi-state coalition in filing an amicus brief challenging the Trump administration's use of the National Guard in Oregon. According to a press release, the brief argues the Trump administration has relied on exaggerated and inaccurate descriptions to justify the deployment of the National Guard for civil law enforcement. It also argues that states have an interest in ensuring their National Guard units are available to continue providing their usual essential services, like responding to natural disasters. Republican state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to limit political donations made with a credit card. The proposed bill would bar political parties and candidates from accepting online credit card donations unless the contributor making the donation provides a verification code and a U.S. address. The legislation was discussed in a state assembly committee on Wednesday, where some questioned how the state could enforce the additional requirement. Republican lawmakers say the bill is an election integrity measure. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials are warning residents that flu activity will begin increasing rapidly as colder weather starts to settle in. The agency has reported that flu activity is minimal and stable currently, but other respiratory illness activity like COVID-19 is starting to increase. Officials are reminding residents to take steps to protect themselves against respiratory illnesses, like ensuring they are up to date on vaccines, thoroughly washing their hands regularly, and staying home when they're sick to prevent further spread. Northland Adaptive Recreation officials say their annual Shoot for Fun event brought in the third largest fundraising total in the organization's 27-year history. The annual event is the organization's only fundraiser of the year, with all of the proceeds going to support adaptive recreational sports programs for residents across the Northland. Those programs help over 350 residents participate in sports like archery and cycling with specialized adaptive equipment. This year's event raised a total of around $107,000. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the National League Championship Series. Game one is tonight in Milwaukee. The first pitch at 7:08. Game two tomorrow night. Then they play games 3, 4, and 5 if needed in L.A. in a best-of-7 series to determine who goes to the World Series. NFL, the Packers held on to beat the Bengals 27-18 in Green Bay. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
A lot of these games are going down to the wire. You got to give Cincinnati a ton of credit for what they were able to do, specifically offensively the second half.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Bulls in Chicago 127-121. Doc Rivers likes what he saw from Giannis and their new players.
What we have is more guys getting downhill. Scoop's getting downhill a lot. Coe is getting downhill a lot. Kuz is getting downhill a lot. And Giannis gets downhill. Last year we had Giannis. So even though we led the league in percentage, we just couldn't create enough of them.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 96.9 WBZH.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Rain is likely tonight. We'll see a low around 48. It will be breezy out of the southeast, at times over 30 miles per hour. For Monday, becoming sunny, highs in the afternoon around 61. Partly cloudy Monday night, 31, mid-50s on Tuesday.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday for the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allbowl Show.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the view from across the pond for Democrats who live overseas? We're going to hear from George King IV from Democrats Abroad. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinair on Air.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. It is 6:06. Good morning. It's a Monday morning, October 13th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, catching us on Facebook, YouTube, podcast, website, however you got here. We appreciate you getting your work week started right here. I got a question for you. Can you believe it is October 13th and we are still talking Brewers baseball? Yeah, because the Brewers beat the Cubs and eliminated them and their manager, Craig Counsell, from the postseason, and move on to play for the National League pennant. The League Championship Series starts tonight at American Family Field. I am wearing my Father's Day gift from one of my daughters, one of those Brewers Hawaiian shirts, and producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2, resplendent in his old school Milwaukee t-shirt with the glove logo. You don't see the wheat logo much anymore. It's pretty much all glove everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Olson, it's a great morning to be a Brewers fan.
It is a very great day to be a Brewers fan. It is hopefully a very good week to be a Brewers fan, Pat. I have a little stat for you here.
A stat?
A stat. Okay. The Brewers are 6-0 against the Dodgers this season.
That's right. Yes.
I'm not saying, but not I'm saying. Suggesting.
I'm just saying, you know. There are some who are saying, because you know the old saying is Bucks and six, and they're saying Brewers and six.
Oh yeah,
which I appreciate the sentiment, but why not Brewers and four? You know, I mean, let's just go ahead and start with the highest of expectations.
Let's get crazy.
Why not? Because let's face it, after game four against the Cubs, we were all mildly panic stricken.
Yeah.
You know, about what game five would be like, and then game five turned out to be pretty okay, pretty okie dokie,
pretty good.
Pretty good. And now we've got some corners of baseball world unhappy with the Brewers, hating on the Brewers, because during the team photo at the end, pitcher Trevor Megill grabbed one of the fly the L flags and held up the L flag up high over the team for one of the photos. And people are going, oh, that's just like no class. Oh, that's just... Do you not know the history of the Chicago Cubs?
By corner of baseball fans, you mean Chicago Cubs fans?
Not even all. There are Cubs fans who are like, I'm a Cubs fan. I get it. We would have done the same to them.
I've only seen Cubs complaining about it though. I haven't seen regular people complain.
You know, the people who like would back the Dodgers or the Mets or things, because you know they're expecting that. Oh, Midwesterners would never, you know, rub it in again. Have you met the Cubs? So this felt good. Yes, I've stated plenty of times my feelings about this are only amplified by Craig Counsell's decision to stab his team in his hometown in the back. So this has been, that was an especially good game, and especially when it was all on home runs, which was really felt nice.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I kind of cheated a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I didn't mean to.
Uh-oh.
But this is a story of technology.
Did you use black magic?
No, maybe not. But see, on my phone, yeah. I get, you know, you can get score updates.
Oh.
And on my lock screen, you get these score updates. Well, it turns out that my phone was about either 10 seconds ahead of the TV.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. The TV through the cable system was about 10 seconds behind real time.
Yep.
And the phone will beep if there's a score update in something that I'm following.
Yeah.
And so for each time, Andrew Vaughn, William Contreras, Bryce Terang, they're all up. My phone beeps. Bing! I kind of look out the corner of my eye and I say to Sherry, look at this. And then pop, and it goes over and I'm like, yes. I mean, the first time I probably looked psychic. The second time quizzical, and the third time I look like an idiot, but it felt so good each time, except for the one time it beeped.
And it wasn't us.
It wasn't us. It was tracking another Iowa touchdown against the Badgers.
Oh yeah.
And I was just like, you can get off my phone right now. And I did. I deleted that so fast off my lock screen after that. Cause there was a Brewer hitter up. I forget who, and I hear the beep and I'm like, Oh. And there wasn't a home run. I looked down at the lock screen. And it's like, you know, Iowa scoops up a fumble or whatever. I'm just like, you're done, Badgers. You're just done.
You're dead to me. You cannot dupe me like that.
It's not that they're dead to me. They're just dead.
That's
losing
also
to Iowa 37-0.
Yeah.
I mean,
they don't.
What's 37 might not be the over under on next weekend's game against Ohio State. In fact, I don't do betting, and I'm not.
Last I saw, I thought it was like 20. I don't remember if that was pre or post Iowa.
Now I'm going to look. Let's see. Yeah. 28.5, 28 and a half point favorites.
That's ridiculous.
They are four touchdown favorites over the Badgers. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
And honestly, anybody who bets the under, no, stop it. Oh, wow.
Hey,
so,
you know,
so maybe that was the story of getting the Badger score updates off my phone while I was trying to enjoy the Brewers game. And let's talk pitching here, because Trevor McGill started, which was unusual. But again, Pat Murphy, genius. You get the kind of the yips out of the way instead of Jacob Mizrowski starting.
Needed a good first inning.
Yep. Had a good. And then, you know, again, that was my most nervous was watching Mizrowski. He especially when he gave up the one home run. I was like, oh, I hope this isn't what it is, because let's remember last year in the wild card series.
Yep.
You know, the Brewers were in a position to clinch. They were up two runs in the ninth inning, and Devin Williams allowed four runs in the final inning, including a 3-run home run by Pete Alonso.
That's what I was thinking about when Uribe came up.
Yeah. I make you relive all this just because it was in our minds when Mizrowski was on the mound, and then when Abner Uribe was asked to get a 2-inning save, 6 outs. And Sherry again is hearing me going, okay, we got 6 outs to go. Okay, we got 5 outs to go.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we got 4 outs to go. I mean, I was just trying to each one of these to happen, because I am very much an Abner Uribe fan.
Yeah.
But I also know that, like Devin Williams last year, you can have those moments where you implode. Mm-hmm. But he did not. He got the final 6 outs. And so the Brewers are in the postseason, advancing for the first time, winning a division series since 2018, when they then went on to face the Dodgers to go for the National League pennant. And they lost in a heartbreaking Game 7, but not this time. We've exercised the demons from the Cubs. Now we're doing it on the Dodgers. This is the vengeance tour.
Crew and six. Let's go. Come on.
There you go. So that takes us to the National League Championship Series. It begins tonight at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Again, 6:30 for a first pitch at 7:08. The American League Championship Series is already underway. Seattle beat Toronto last night 3-1, and so they will play Game 2 this afternoon at 4:00, ahead of the National League Championship Series Game 1, Brewers Dodgers at 7:00. Now the schedule sets up like this: it's today and tomorrow night at home for the Brewers against the Dodgers. Then Wednesday is the travel day. And then they're at Dodger Stadium Thursday, Friday, and if necessary on Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday, and then a travel day Sunday. And so if they need a game 6 and 7 back here in Milwaukee, it would be next Monday and Tuesday. So Monday, Tuesday this week, Monday, Tuesday next week at American Family Field. But we won't need that. We won't even need to come back to Milwaukee. But if we do, again,
not until the World Series.
We've got that home field advantage, which would be a big help in game 6 and 7. So that's kind of how it all sets up. Tony says, I was really nervous of who they would bring in if Uribe blew it. Yeah, me too. I figured it would be
Koenig. It would have been Koenig.
Yeah,
it would have been fine.
Something would have been something. Oh, by the way, the Packers played. Usually we're all in Packer gear at this point, you know. And the Packer game was fine. It was fine. It was a win. It was definitely not what you would call a sexy game, but you know, it was a good old fashioned victory. Josh Jacobs running for 2 touchdowns. Tucker Kraft barreling his way into the end zone for a TD reception. I really am liking Tucker Kraft. I mean, we don't always have a great classic tight end. So when we do, you know, a guy that can either catch or block, that's nice. And the Packers beat the Bengals 27-18. Josh Jacobs, not feeling his best. He had the flu. Said he threw up a couple of times during the game. Still managed to carry the ball 18 times, 93 yards. He told his coaches the last time he felt this way, he had 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. So apparently Josh Jacobs needs to play sick as a dog.
He's at his best in flu games. Cool. That's good to know.
Sure. Why not? Jordan Love, 19 of 26 for 259 yards. He had the 19-yard touchdown pass to Tucker Kraft and 1 interception. And it's not dominant, but it gets the job done. Tony writes on YouTube, the Packer game felt like the Browns game at first, where the Packers were better, but they weren't pulling the game away. Yep. Yes, I definitely saw that in the comments on social media. People still feel like Matt LaFleur is not, like he's holding them back. I don't know that I necessarily get that impression. I see Jordan Love going deep a lot, but it definitely didn't feel like a rhythm, I guess that'd be fair to say.
No, it's really odd. It's been a while since I've felt really good about like consecutive Packer wins. Like the wins against the Lions to start the year was really good. And I don't remember who we beat. I think the Commanders the next week.
Yes.
Those were 2 really good wins back to back. But prior to that, I don't remember feeling awesome after a Packer win for a little while.
It hasn't, and all I'll say in consolation to that is, look, if you're going to feel that way, better closer to the end of the season, I guess.
True.
This is a rare home game here. You had the bye week. You had the other road games. Now we're on the road to Arizona next week and to Pittsburgh the week after that. So this was the only October home game for the Packers, and then they won't be home again until November 2nd. But again, they will take on Arizona next Sunday. It is again a 3:25 game. So again, coverage will begin at 1:00 on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you think I'm being a little too tough on the Badgers and you do want to hear a little Badger football against Ohio State next Saturday, coverage begins at 12:30.
Why would you
listen? On some of the stations across the Civic Media
Network.
Why
would you do that to yourself?
The Badger women's volleyball team, they got swept on Friday at Penn State, the 7th-ranked Badgers losing to the 19th-ranked Nittany Lions in straight sets on the road Friday. So they took it out yesterday on Maryland and beat up Maryland in straight sets, and they will next play at home Friday night at the Fieldhouse against UCLA. So,
and a sweep for Badger women's hockey against Minnesota Duluth.
I did not even know that they were going already.
Yes, they are. Hockey. They had an incredible win on a Friday, I think. They were down a goal, and they scored with like 20.8 seconds left to tie, and then scored to win with like 8 seconds left.
Well, there you go. All right. So we got plenty of sports action to follow. starting first and foremost with the Brewers. You don't see any other gear that we're wearing today. This is how we roll, at least for this week, hopefully. There's other things going on in the world, and we'll tell you what else is coming up on the program and go over some of the headlines. And Dr. Kristen Lierley is along before too much longer. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on The Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's what's coming up this morning here on the program. State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire will be along to talk about a new package of bills supporting higher education in Wisconsin, which to many of us sounds like a no-brainer, but is not for certain parts of our legislature. And so she's going to unveil what she's got proposed and the difference between what others in the legislature would be doing for colleges and universities in the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley. She'll join us, I should say, for today's history lesson coming up in just a little over 10 minutes. And then after 7 o'clock, we will talk about the government shutdown and how President Trump made his latest move related to the shutdown, firing like 1,000 people at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, because nothing says running a government capably than letting go the people who respond to Ebola and measles outbreaks and other things. So Dr. Lierley will have some thoughts on that. We'll talk to a Civic Media Sports Director, Jimmy Cuska, of course, about the Brewers and the Packers. We'll be joined by our Civic Media friends, John and Gordy from Madison, Jane Matinere, whose program follows ours at 9 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're saying, Pat, please stop. That is too much. I cannot handle all of that. I can't stick around. Then pod the program. Get over to Spotify or Apple, follow the show there, and listen on demand. You can even, I don't know why you'd want to do this, but you could fast forward. You could listen at, you know, 1.5 or double speed to get through it quicker. But that's one way to do it, is get over to Spotify and follow us that way. Or watch us later on Facebook or YouTube, and that and stop as you like. But those are some of the things we're coming up for you yet this morning. Yesterday came our Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow Sunday newsletter from the folks at Up North News and Courier Newsroom, and it includes our question of the week. Our question of the week this week deals with mining, metallic mining for things like, you know, gold, copper, zinc, and other other elements that we know are up there. We've always known they're up there to some degree. The question is whether it's worth the price to dig the mines. I mean, even the test drilling that was recently done up north had some issues, like sediment that washed away into a wetland and a borehole that was left open, which could allow for cross-contamination of aquifers. But there are others who say, you know, once they start mining, they're going to do it responsibly. So do you agree? I ask in the newsletter, where are you on mining? Is it, you know, no, no way, not ever, don't need it, not worth it? Is it, I'm open to the idea as long as there are really good regulations and protections? Or option C was drill, baby, drill, that the mining companies can police themselves. So what do you think of that? And you can send us a response by responding to the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony asks on YouTube, Dr. Lyerly talked to Chris Matthews. Yes, the former Hardball host. I saw that she'd posted a video being interviewed by Chris Matthews for his program. Tony also asks about the if you listen by podcast instead of speeding it up, can I slow it down to enjoy it for 4 hours? Yes, Tony, you can. But I don't know why anybody would want to do that. So again, thank you. And you can put your own comments in there as well in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. On the subject of, you know, regulations for things like mining and other environmental regulations, I haven't given this talk for a while, but I'm going to give it again because there's a package of bills put forth by Republicans in the legislature that went through the next step in the committee process. On its road to nowhere, this package of bills is going to be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers if it ever gets to his desk, but Republicans are always looking to make some kind of a statement by working on these things that are going nowhere anyway. And this new package of bills is all about attacking those pesky government regulations. We hear about regulations all the time. The headline for this Wisconsin Public Radio article, lawmakers debate GOP bills designed to cut back on state regulations and deregulation and overregulation. So here's the talk I haven't given for a while. When you hear regulations, when you hear deregulations, anything about regulations, take out the word regulations, put in the word protections. Because by and large, that's what those are. They're protecting something. They're either protecting the environment, or they're protecting you as a consumer, or they're protecting you as an employee. Now, I'm not here to say that every regulation is perfect and that every regulation has to stay on the books. The trick to being a lawmaker, as I discovered firsthand, is basically eternal vigilance. Always being aware that some regulation isn't living up to what its authors promised. It needs to be modified, or it needs to be removed. It needs adjustments. But to erase regulations for the sake of erasing regulations is really just attacking protections. In other words, you're doing the bidding of some business or some group that wants to remove those protections so that they can, for example, drill as much as they want and not have to worry about those pesky regulations about groundwater contamination or the regulations on things like, you know, child labor, because there are people that want to address the labor shortage in this country, not by fixing immigration, but by letting more 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds do job duties that we passed child labor laws a century ago to deal with so that our kids would not be facing those kinds of troubles. But people say, oh, it's those pesky regulations. And so these bills are making their way through the committee process right now, again, to make that statement. And while they won't go anywhere, it is an ongoing GOP talking point that says Wisconsin is one of the most heavily regulated states in the country. Thank goodness. I like living in a state that puts a priority on protecting children from exploitation and protecting employees and protecting the environment. It's what makes Wisconsin such a great state to live in. And what say we not go backwards? We have got today's history lesson. Dr. Lyerly will be joining us in just a bit, starting with the singer and keyboardist for the group Chicago. On the way, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
There may be plenty of anxiety about where we're going to use all the milk that U.S. dairies are producing, but I'll tell you what, there's one category in Wisconsin that just can't keep up. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and this story takes us to western Wisconsin, where Westby Cooperative Creamery is now investing $14.1 million to modernize their facility and expand cottage cheese production. Emily Bielkowski is the sales and marketing manager at Westby Cooperative Creamery, and she says right now their goal, just trying to keep up with the surging demand.
The surge in demand for cottage cheese is attributed to some of the viral TikTok recipes and just increased consumer interest in high-protein, healthy diets. The market is projected to keep growing. We're responding to that with a modernization project that will update our cottage cheese making facility in general. Right now, our orders are 15 to 20% more than we can produce. We are oversold at this time. So with this project, we'll be able to meet that demand.
Emily Bielkowski with the Westby Cooperative Creamery. She says right now the current cottage cheese capacity is sold, and they get contacted weekly by organizations looking for more. High protein and clean label food trends are here to stay, and Westby Cooperative Creamery wants to keep pace. Markets are next.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Commodities cratered on Friday after discussions between the United States and China cratered. December new crop corn was down 5.25 cents at 413. November new crop beans down 15.5 at 10.06¾. July new crop wheat down 8¾ cents at 539.5. The November class 3 milk that goes into cheese finished 43 cents lower, 1621. Barrel cheese was down 3 at 171. 40-pound block cheese down 6 at 170. AA butter gained a quarter of a cent at 160.5. I'm Pam Yonke.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Northern Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Rain is likely tonight. We'll see a low around 48. It will be breezy out of the southeast, at times over 30 miles per hour. For Monday, becoming sunny, highs in the afternoon around 61. Partly cloudy Monday night, 31, mid-50s on Tuesday.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This song never fails to put me in a better mood. It's just nice and upbeat. And it's Chicago. It's Beginnings. It was written by Robert Lamb, who turns 81 years old today. Songwriter, keyboardist. He wrote many of the band's biggest hits, including Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? 25 or 6 to 4, Saturday in the Park, and more. He is one of three founding members still performing with the group that they founded back in 1967. Welcome to today's history lesson, where we are joined by the one and only Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Lyerly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay.
Somebody's still recovering. You were not at the game yesterday. I was surprised to hear.
I was kind of planning to ride my bike there, because that is one of my favorite things in the world, is to ride my bike to Lambeau, tailgate, and then come home and listen. And I just wasn't feeling up to it. So we made soup instead and hung out with the boys.
You know what you should have done? You should have gone down the road just a little bit to where I was Friday to get roasted chicken at Schuster's in Denmark. Roasted chicken. Roasted chicken in Northeast Wisconsin ain't nothing like it.
I still don't really know what broasted means. It's a
different kind of invention. A lot of people kind of refer to it as a Nesco as well, but it is something where you are essentially pressure cooking it and baking it at the same time. In other words, you need a special piece of machinery. You can't just call something broasted. You have to use an actual broaster. And if you do it right, it is the best chicken that you will ever have. And you get that with some mashed potatoes and gravy and some kneecaps. You know, not the kind that you're recovering from, Kristen, but the little pastries. Basically, it's a little mini
donut. That's a very Denmark thing.
It's a very Northeast Wisconsin thing, except it's not a mini donut. There's just an indentation, not a hole. And you put powdered sugar and whipped cream on that. And oh, my goodness. So good. So good. Anyway, let's get back to today's history lesson, because I'm making myself hungry. And this one is just for Alicia, who really liked the last segment, saying I could not have said it better, Pat. Well, Alicia, this is for you. On this day in 1775, the Continental Congress established the Continental Navy, predecessor of today's United States Navy.
Alicia, of course, a proud Navy veteran, so many other folks out there. So, you know, so much respect from us, the people who you have served and fought for. Not so much from the federal government, who has a lot of lip service, but not actual, support.
Including not actual paychecks like right now. But happy 250th birthday to the United States Navy. On this day in 1792 in Washington, D.C., the cornerstone was laid for what was then called the Executive Mansion, later known as the White House. Again, this day in 1792. Happy birthday to singer Paul Simon. He is 84 years old today.
Do you have a favorite Paul Simon song?
Do I have a favorite Paul Simon song? Oh, gosh. Good question. Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard comes to mind. Mm-hmm. There's so much. I mean, either with a guy named Art Garfunkel, who is a pretty good singer in his own right. And then he had such a great solo career. But this would also be in the top two or three, Kodachrome.
Yeah.
A couple of baseball notes here. On this day in 1903, The Boston Red Sox won the first modern World Series, beating the Pittsburgh Pirates in the eighth game of what was then a best 5-of-9 series.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. It used to be stupidly long.
Stupidly long. there are some people that will tell you 7 games is stupidly long to them, but you know, it's better than those stupid 1-game playoffs. But yeah, best of nine might be a bit much. Another baseball note, on this day in 1969, Billy Martin was fired as manager of the Minnesota Twins. Keep in mind, the Minnesota Twins had just won the division with 97 victories, but they were eliminated in the postseason by the Baltimore Orioles, and the team owner, Calvin Griffith, finally had enough of Billy's volatile personality and fired the guy that had just won them a division.
That sounds like a Minnesota sports move. Just saying.
It sounds like a Billy Martin move, who I get years later would be at a bar in the Twin Cities. I think he was managing the Yankees at the time and got in a fight with a marshmallow salesman in a hotel bar.
What? Oh, my God.
He had a way.
Yes. I miss those days of, like, you just hear about the ballplayers at the bar after the game. I wish we still got those stories.
I know there are a couple of bars around Green Bay, one or two that are still operating, that were operating back in, you know, the glory days of the 60s.
Yeah.
And there are stories that can be told, and there are stories that cannot be told about the things that went on at some of those local watering holes. Happy birthday to singer Sammy Hagar. He is 68 years old today.
He seems like he should be older or dead. Either one.
Jeez.
Again, I mean, phrase, ridden hard and put away wet would be Sammy Hagar, who still can't drive 55. He'd rather drive his age, which is now 68 years old today. All right. One of those stupidly easy pop quizzes, I hope, for Parker here. Hunter and businessman Leon Wood Bean was born this day in 1872. What business did Leon Wood Bean begin?
If it's not L.L. Bean, I'm going to be really mad.
It is L.L. Bean. So okay, congratulations on that. Yes. Singer Marie Osmond, little Marie Osmond. She is a senior citizen today, 65 years old.
She's a little bit country.
And a little bit rock and roll. Sacha Baron Cohen is 54 years old today. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 36 years old today. All right, I am happy to say that last night I finally finished the, like, 5+ hour Billy Joel documentary.
It's good, isn't it?
Just to tell you that on this day in 1978, Billy Joel's 6th studio album was released. It was entitled 52nd Street. It would go on to win the Grammy Award for Album of the Year.
We all know these songs. We know all of these songs.
We do. Mm-hmm. There was Big Shot, Honesty, My Life, Rosalinda's Eyes. And so back to the documentary, I promised Greg Bach that we would use Friday's history lesson this week and it would basically just be a Billy Joel appreciation segment. But I'm going to tell you anyway here on this Monday as well. You have until Friday now to go watch it. I watched it on the HBO Max app. It is just so good.
And it's so real. Like, it doesn't gloss over his mental health struggles and his, I mean, Christie Brinkley on the brink of tears as she's talking about their marriage.
Oh. It's not a lot of people can get all four of their wives or ex-wives to appear in a documentary and speak from the heart about how much they still love him. But, you know, there were the demons. Mm-hmm. And the same goes with band members, you know, who've been with him for literally decades. But again, as somebody who just loves great songwriting, the what do they call it? The beautiful torture that you go through writing what you hope is a hit. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're just writing from the heart. And then his whole struggles with his early childhood and, you know, his father and everything else just makes it such a well done documentary. So, again,
I love it when they tell the full story, because then it really gives you the insight to who this person is and where their artistic fire comes from.
Oh, and I loved when he was talking about, meeting Christie Brinkley for the first time, you know, at a bar in the Caribbean. And it was her and Elle McPherson and another model who was a surprisingly good singer by the name of Whitney Houston. Like, what? What? where did that come from? You know? I have to make a correction here. There is a reason Sammy Hagar looks 10 years older. He actually is 10 years older. Troy and Madison points out that I'm an idiot at math, and he is 78 years old, not 68. Troy says, I was at his 60th party 18 years ago.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Rock on, Troy.
I know. Now, that's a story. Now that you know how to use the text line or use the voice feature, I want to hear some of those stories. Exactly. So anyway, so Sammy Hagar, yes, I'm looking at the math here, 78 years old today. All right, on this day in 1979, the number one song was by Michael Jackson.
Now I'm feeling a little bit better.
I know.
I'm gonna get up and dance.
Well, and again, people of a certain age go, oh yeah, that's from Off the Wall. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was the first track from his solo Off the Wall, the first where he had creative control of his music rather than the people who were doing the music for the Jackson 5. And it would be the first of four singles off that album and really launch his grown-up career, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1983, the first cellular network in the country was launched in the Chicago area by Ameritech. That particular network is now part of Verizon. On this day,
wait a minute. Did you have one of those giant brick phones?
I did. Yes, and it was so cool. It's like, look, I'm talking on a cellular phone, holding up this brick to your head. It was so, and you thought that was the ultimate. It's never going to get better than this. You can take the phone with you.
Mm-hmm.
It did get better.
It did get better.
It was still pretty cool. That was 1983. In 1984, the number one song was by Stevie Wonder.
I just called to say,
aww,
I love you.
Did that ever inspire you to call Sherry and be like, I'm having a moment right now, Sherry.
Aww.
I'm just calling to say I love you.
Yeah, but it wasn't that song, but I'm sure there were others. This was from the soundtrack of the movie The Woman in Red back in 1984. On this day in 2008, 5 months after marrying Jay-Z, Beyoncé released a sassy song about it.
Y'all miss Pat doing his little hand flip.
Do a little hand thing. That's right. Yep.
I didn't even see it.
I can't do the other part where you're like, you know, moving your arms and it's...
You could, I think.
I could.
A little practice.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or I could. Can we do this tomorrow?
Fall down and
I think we can do this.
Yep. Yep.
I'll train him up.
It would be the number one song for 4 weeks and win the Grammy for Song of the Year again back in 2008. A story that had a happy ending, a mining accident in Chile this week in 2010, came to a happy ending as all 33 miners who had been buried underground for 69 days arrived safely at the surface. What an amazing rescue. And I brought that up because I'm sure we have all forgotten about it, but we needed that moment to remember something good that happened in the news. And that happened this week in 2010.
Amazing. It would be amazing to talk with them about, like, it's been 15 years now.
Yeah.
So what was that like in retrospect and how did that change their lives?
I remember, I don't know how long ago now, 2-3 years ago, reading an article about it and how everybody was doing surprisingly well, except for like one person who never truly recovered from like their PTSD of dealing with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But again, by and large, a happy story. And on this day in 2016, Bob Dylan was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, a category with winners like John Steinbeck and William Faulkner. The award was given for having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition, to which I would respond, how do you know?
You
have to be able to hear them. Yeah. There is today's history lesson. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we will talk to Kristen more about the government shutdown. Because, I mean, after all, what good is running the government if you can't, you know, fire the people who respond to Ebola outbreaks? You know, little things like that. That's coming up after the news live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Today is Indigenous Peoples Day, and for some businesses, schools, and others, it is recognized as a holiday, so school for the LCO School District is not in session today. The LCO Tribal Government and some of its entities are also closed today in recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day. At 9 o'clock, the Hayward Community Food Shelf is opening up. They are located at 16216 Highway 63 here in Hayward. Food distribution happens every Monday morning and the first Saturday of each month from 9 until noon. Check out what they have available at the haywardfoodshelf.net and click on the Need Food button. Everyone's encouraged to get food from this program. Again, the Hayward Community Food Shelf opening up at 9 o'clock today until noon. Essential life-saving training is available today from 9:30 until 12:30. You can get your CPR certificate or your BLS certification. That is for healthcare providers. All of this happening at the Fitness Fanatics location, 15959 Dino Drive in Hayward. This is put on together by CPRRescuersNorth.com. For more information, check out their website, CPRRescuersNorth.com. essentiallifesaving.com. Again, essential life-saving training for CPR and BLS happening at Fitness Fanatics here in Hayward. Super Senior Fitness classes being held at 11 o'clock today at the Hayward Senior Resource Center located at 15856 East 5th Street here in Hayward. This $2 class is 45 minutes long and is geared toward those 60 and older, and it is a chair-based exercise program. They work on balance, strength, coordination, core, and of course, having fun. Super Seniors at 11 o'clock at the Hayward Senior Resource Center. Tween Club meets today at 3:30. This will be held at the Hayward Library. This is a club for tweens ages 9 to 12, and they'll be working on games, making some crafts, having some snacks, meeting new friends. Today's craft is Ghost in a Jar. Again, the Tween Club, happening at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library, located at 10788 State Highway 27 here in Hayward. The boys varsity soccer for Spooner High School will be playing against Superior. This will be a home game at the Spooner High School. Again, boys varsity soccer starting at 5 o'clock against Superior. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be opening up at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. This is located at the Spider Lake Youth Center in Hayward at 11255 Highway 77. They have plenty of meats and produce available, and everyone's encouraged to get food from this program, regardless of their financial situation. Check it out today at 10 o'clock, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf at the Spider Lake Youth Center here in Hayward. Varsity Cross Country Conference Meet for Spooner and Barron will be held at the Timberland Hills Ski Trails starting at 4:30 on Tuesday. The Cross Country Varsity Conference Meet, including Spooner and Barron schools, will be at the Timberland Hills and Casta Ski Trails. Boys Varsity Soccer for Hayward is against Unity and St. Croix Falls. This is a home game at 4:30 on Tuesday. Boys Varsity Soccer for Hayward against Unity St. Croix Falls at home. A Boys Varsity Soccer meet at Barron High School will be against Ashland. Again, the Boys Varsity Soccer, Barron High School against Ashland. Girls Varsity Volleyball is at 7 o'clock. This is Barron High School Gym. Again, Girls Varsity Volleyball starting at 7 o'clock against Cameron at the Barron High School Gym. On Wednesday the 15th at 10 o'clock, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be open once again. This is located at the Spider Lake Youth Center in Hayward. Again, lots of food and produce available, and everyone's encouraged to get food from this program, regardless of your financial situation. Again, Wednesday at 10 o'clock, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf. Social Security information session is going to be hosted by Margaret Winter, a registered Social Security analyst and 25 years experience. This will be happening Wednesday, October 15th from 10 a.m. until noon at the Hayward Library, and they'll make sure that you'll be able to establish an online access to your Social Security account, give you the tools available once an account has been established, and then provide recent updates to My Account feature from the Social Security website. Again, information session absolutely free on October 15th from 10 a.m. until noon at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library. Margaret Winter will be presenting Social Security information session. Super Seniors will be meeting again at 11 o'clock at the Hayward Senior Resource Center for a 45-minute class geared to those 60 and older. And then at 4 o'clock, Power Pump, a dumbbell class designed for all fitness levels, will be held at the Cable Community Center located at 13660 County Highway M. That's Power Pump at 4. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. It's been a day of joy in Israel as all 20 living hostages were returned by Hamas under the terms of a peace agreement. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, speaking to Parliament, called President Trump the greatest friend Israel's ever had in the White House. The president right now addressing the Israeli Parliament said,
"The sun rises on a holy land that is finally at peace, a land and a region that will live, God willing, in peace for all eternity."
The future will be the topic of a peace summit in Egypt later today. President Trump will be a co-chair, but ABC's James Longman's there and says,
"The next stage will be even more difficult because this 20-point plan is the deal that he wants. Donald Trump often talks deals into existence. It's the end point. How we get there, though, that's going to be difficult. How will Hamas..."